Welcome, everybody, to another episode of The Paranormal Saloon. I'm your host, Jay Hill. Tonight, we have a really cool show tonight. We have a new guest, and I am accompanied by my good friend, Elizabeth, again. She's kind of becoming a fixture just because of the fact that she's got some great stories when we were talking about the paranormal in the military. But she's good friends with our new guest. He goes by JJ, and that's how I'll refer him to, is JJ. So without further ado, let's get these cats on. Hello. JJ, I appreciate you coming on. I know that Elizabeth has said some highly great things about you. You know, as with my show, we do a lot of different topics. We do paranormal, we do spiritualism, mediumship, and just general conversations about life in general. And a lot of my listeners, as of late, have really kind of jumped on the Paranormal Saloon wagon, so to speak. I didn't expect it to take off as much as I did, because I've got other shows that I use or that I've hosted. And I've been doing this for over 4 years. So this is nice that I've gotten good rapport from everybody else around. But you are my guest, and I would like you to possibly introduce yourself and what you do and let my listeners know who you are.
Yeah, so my name is JJ Hurd, and about a few years back, I started channeling. and kind of getting to know Thoth the Atlantean. He is an Atlantean priest king. He is the god of wisdom. After losing a friend that was very close to me, I had never really talked to the universe, talked to God before. But when I lost my friend, I needed to know where he went. I'm a Leo. I'm a stubborn person. So I needed to know where we went after this. And I asked the universe to guide me and direct me, and whatever it needed me to do, I would do. And when you ask unselfishly, I believe that the universe will give you what you can handle. And fortunately, I was able to handle a lot. It was a very difficult journey, but here I am now 3 years later, and I feel like I've done right by Thoth and also Yeshua, Jesus, as they know him. I channel them both very deeply.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Awesome. Yeah. Being a Christian myself and having gifts, I know that it can be quite difficult at times to assimilate to that type of lifestyle, you know, especially when you're dealing with any type of cosmic type religion or any type of spiritual belief or whatnot. And yeah, I had to put my faith in Christ, and, you know, I've got great stories with him. I've got, you know, I've heard some great stories from other people with him. And so, yeah, I do trust him wholeheartedly. So let me ask you first off, can you talk a little bit about your upbringing, you know, of where your upbringing kind of led you to where you're at now?
So, yeah, I grew up, and I was always, I didn't have a, I wouldn't say I had a difficult childhood from the outside looking in, but it was constant turmoil inside of myself. I was a very dysregulated person, and I was almost like inside of my body, I was always trying to figure out where I was supposed to go and where I was supposed to be. I did have a lot of struggles growing up with relationships with my father and things like that, but as I learned back, I was getting tough love to kind of shape me into who I was today. So I look back and I say, from having the coaches I had play, I was a big athlete. So I gravitated toward that. I had a lot of role models in my life who shaped me to be tough and have a strong outer shell. But as I grew up and I grew into myself, I realized that the one thing I was lacking was empathy and the heart chakra. So as I grew up, if you'd like me to get in a little bit of my career, I became a teacher and I started working with students with autism, nonverbal, and other disabilities. And again, it was almost like throughout every step of my upbringing, I was almost being shaped to get to where I was today. I do a lot of, I call it telepathy, but it's really a reading of body language. And I feel like the kids that I was working with along the way were actually training me to learn and grow. I tend to find the value, since I was a little kid, I would see the value in things that other people didn't value, whether it was rocks or body language or just the little things that other people seem to overlook. And I look back and I say, every single step of the way, I was being trained to get where I was today.
Wow. That's really pretty cool. From the one thing that I notice, and this usually happens to me, sometimes I'll get messages from spirit or whatnot, but I do see angelic line in your ancestry. And that's one of the first things that I noticed about you is the fact that what you do now, basically, when you were helping kids with autism or whoever, that was right in your wheelhouse. That was something that kind of that I could see that's part of you, and that's part of something that you signed up to do, which I think is really cool. But the one thing that I do notice about you and just kind of see is the fact that you have an angelical line, and you are from an angelical line, let's put it that way. And I also am from an angelical line. I come from the Levi tribe.
Okay. I almost said Judah, but Levi is the Levites. Yes. So the wizards, so to speak.
Yes. Yes. So, I discovered that a couple years ago, and, when I discovered that, it kind of opened up a whole different, like walking through a different doorway. And it was like, wow. Yes. And once I realized all that stuff, I was like, that makes so much more sense now, you know? And I actually had ran into another person that was, from that line, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I am actually number sixth, I think it is. And I actually, in person, I met the number 12. I'm actually friends with her. And it was really weird how I noticed that. For people who don't really know, I mean, it's just the Angelica line. There's the first 12 tribes of the Angelic line. You know what I mean? The first initial. And so, yeah, it was kind of an eye-opening for me. Now, can you relate to, you seem to be able to relate to what I'm telling you. So can you kind of maybe explain to some of the people that are listening what I'm actually talking about?
I think what you're referring to are the 12 tribes of Israel, with how they refer. And so the 12 different tribes of Israel are the 12 different, I believe, bloodlines of the disciples of Jesus or included in the Bible. So there are 12 different lines. There's the tribe of Benjamin, which Mary Magdalene is cut from, the line of Judah, which Judas and Jesus are cut from, Levites, who are priests. So there's quite a few lines. And I believe it part of my channeling and part of my experiences are that, yes, they are angelic lines, but it also goes back to the genetic modification of human beings. Right. So it has to do with different genetics that were put into an existing hominid, which also takes back to Atlantis, where one of my past lives was.
Okay. Yeah, I was not part of that, but I still find it fascinating. I mean, I've never correlated myself to that. Now, Elizabeth, do you know any of your lines?
No, sure don't.
No, you don't. Okay. I think that more or less that you're an immediate. What I mean by an immediate is somebody who is newer to the fold, so to speak. There's different branches. There's different, depending on how far back that spiritualism and all that goes, you know what I mean? So you're more or less new, but because of the fact that you were such a quick study, that you've kind of moved up, so to speak, in the ranks. You know what I mean? So that's why when I had met you and I knew that you're very gifted, and I noticed it right away. Because mediums and psychics and gifted people know everybody immediately. I mean, it's like meeting somebody that you went to school with 20 years ago and say, oh, I remember you. You know what I mean? So that's the best way to describe it. Now, I'm not going to put you on the spot, Joel, JJ, but
do it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. I've been through the ringer. So like I say, Thoth, when you get into it with Thoth, you get prepared.
Okay. Really so yeah. So, yeah, because I've been put on the spot, and I've been through the ringer as well, you know. But yeah. So if you could, I guess, let my listeners know, people kind of know me. Not everybody does, but some of the older friends that I've had know who I am. So I'm curious on what your take on me is.
My take on you, right off the bat, and it's not because of the podcast, mm-hmm. but you, born mm-hmm. leader, born leader. But I think sometimes maybe you question yourself, question yourself internally. It's the self doubt, right? There's no real reason for it, as you know, but we tend to sometimes let our emotions take control. But I think what I get with you, I could be wrong. I think you've experienced a lot of loss in relationships or in family. And now I don't know why, and I could be wrong, but I don't know if your mother is still with us or if she's passed, or did she pass when you were younger?
No.
Okay. Was it? So I don't, is right away. It was almost like mother. As soon as I thought about you, even before coming on, it was almost like immediately your mom wanted to come through.
Yeah.
Like immediately. So I'm guessing the relationship was a good one. And I kind of see from your face right away, as soon as her name was mentioned, your frequency went right up. So, and it wasn't a direct message. I think if anything, it was just more or less just let her know.
Right. Well, and to stop you right there, I basically, she's one of my guides. Actually, she that sits in the back on a chair and kind of, you know, says a few pieces every once in a while, and she works well with the other guide, you know. So
and also what came through is similar to me, because my fingertips started to tingle very deeply. So I think you are super sensitive to energy. Super sensitive.
I am
almost like your hands are their own wand, so to speak.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yep. So, yeah. So I actually do Reiki.
Oh, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I
don't do it too much anymore. But now that when you were talking about it and I mentioned it, now my hands are hot. You know what I mean?
My hands started sweating as well. Yeah, they did.
My hands are really like, I'm in a small room where it's cold downstairs, and I have a heater, but that it's not even pointed on me. But I'm confident enough that I know what I can do, but there's still that doubt, which is reality. Okay, the reality of, you know, talking to other people saying you can do this or you can do that, you know, and you're always have that little chest of doubt that you open every once in a while, or that you never close, or you know what I mean? That little box is getting smaller for me, but it was really big when I first started doing it. You know what I mean? And I'm sure that, you know what I mean? Some people don't have that issue. Some people are, you know, and then there's some people that, you know, I call them armchair mediums, who basically are they're kind of like, they're doing it for the wrong reasons. You know what I mean? Because everything is, everything is about intention. And if your intention isn't pure and good, you're going to, things may look good on the outside, but it's garbage on the inside. And that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
So Jay,
Jay,
I just got told that yours is more hesitation. You could be offered the world, but you would, you would not go. It's almost like I see you with, like, you're taking a step out, but it's that whole, everything, the things that are holding you back, almost like you've just got every, all of these things, just, they're just holding you back. Where JJ is like, I see him, and I've told him this already, like every time that I ask, hey, what's in his future? I see him just, hey, how far you want to go? Do you want to see him standing there? Just, what do you want to know? I got it all for you.
Right.
It just, I think as soon as you find what unlocks that, oh my, the excitement is, it's gonna be so awesome.
And like I noticed too, with JJ, the fact that you are a very somber type person. And like I said, you are kind of within inside yourself. You're a private person in that sense, but you're kind of, I picture you on a boat. Okay, you're like on a boat and you're cruising along on a boat and you're just sitting there and the waves may be different here and there, but you're like, nope, I'm not going to get off there. Nope, I'm not going to get off there. Nope. You know, and you're just kind of just cruising along with the waves, but eventually you're going to have to get off the boat.
You know? Yeah. And that's kind of where, that's kind of where we're at now, where, you know, I like to say too, that the universe, like you say, it will give people whatever they want. You can call on these deities, you can call on the spirits, and they will provide you with what you want. But too often, I've been told directly from Enlil, directly. He told me, you know, the worst thing you could do, the universe, there's no higher offense than when you get a gift and you abuse it. So that's what you're seeing, I think, today in the world, is that the deities have been abused and abused for the negative reasons. Yep. And they're really just waiting. They're waiting on people to call on them for the right reasons. And I think when you're rooted in love and you can't be bought or you can't be you can't be taken off the path of love and kindness and trying to help humanity. You know, I think they appreciate that.
And I think we're to capitalize on Elizabeth's statement about me in that sense. I probably could go in a different direction. But because of the fact that I believe in being humble and believing that ultimate escalation in things that would damage people, you know, fame and all that, you know what I mean? I don't have that makeup. You know what I mean? I want to help everybody. Yeah. I mean, that's just my motto. I mean, I want to, If I could snap my fingers and help everybody instantaneously, I would in a heartbeat. You know what I mean? And
that's exactly how I feel as well.
You know what I mean? So when I do my affirmations in the morning, is I usually say that three times. I usually say I want to be able to be a beacon of light for somebody today. You know what I mean? I want to be able to help people today. You know, and it's not that I want to change them, but I want to be able to inspire them in a way that they can look back and say, I was really heading down that path and I don't know how I changed. And I take no credit. That's another thing too. Whatever I say or spirit says or, you know, whatever, you know, it's not me. Me is per se, but it's not, it's just how I'm made up. You know, I don't want to take credit for that, because it's not about credit. And that people don't understand that people who do that type of work with mediumship and, you know, giving people readings and things like that, that's a type of work that is selfless. You know, you want to be able to do what you know, do to help people or to inspire people or to give people answers. But at no point should you ever take credit or expect credit in that. You know what I mean? You can be rewarded. Don't get me wrong. You could be, but the reward is, you know, more or less the validation of what you're saying. That's all I need. If I've got validation, that's great. You know, I mean, that's worth more than money to me. You know what I mean? Validating that person, it helped them in some fashion. Then that's what it is. I do not want to take credit, financial or, you know, emotional credit. I just, you know,
yeah.
But we're human. And so that's a normal expression or normal emotional feeling. You know what I mean? So we're all guilty of it. It's not really guilty, but we're guilty by association in that sense. In that sense.
A lot
you
of
you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, I know. So, I do, definitely. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I try not to express my negativity or, you know, about certain situations, even if what's going on in the world today and whatnot, you know, that is not my job. When somebody says to me, oh, did you hear about this or hear about this or hear about that? Or even talking about aliens or talking about Bigfoot or whatever. It's like, if that's not in my wheelhouse, if it's not something that I can change or not something that I'm interested in, I don't entertain that. You know what I mean? I try not to entertain it because I don't want to be sucked into the drama, which is where everything's at. You know what I mean?
So yeah, it's a very low vibration thing. And in our world, you know, the power, the system that is set up is one where no matter where you look, if you don't have a way of protecting yourself or being aware, which many people aren't, unfortunately, mm-hmm. every time you turn on the TV, every time you listen to something, your eyes are downloading everything you see. And not everybody knows what they're looking mm-hmm. at. We live in a very magical world, as Levi mm-hmm. would know.
Yeah.
So you have to be very careful where you put your energy. So the things that divide mm-hmm. us, if it divides us, I stay away from it, whether it's religion or politics. I will talk on if people ask me. I will give them that wisdom if they want it. But it's not something that I will ever go seek out. And you're right. The gossip is one of the divisiveness. It's just such a low vibration that if you want to do the things that we do, I think you don't have time.
Right. That's what I feel. It's like, I don't got time for that garbage, you know, conspiracy theories, same thing. I don't have, there may be a conspiracy. There may be this, but I don't have time to deal. I got bigger fish to fry, you know?
Yeah.
And speaking to the human aspect of it, human element, if I can inspire somebody to help raise their frequency, then that's why I do it.
That actually is perfect segue because I wrote down a question. JJ, can you talk to people about how ways to raise their vibrations and their frequencies?
The very best way, and this comes directly from both Yeshua and Thoth, simple acts of kindness is such a simple way to raise your vibration. We go through the world and we have a tunnel vision approach, and we don't, you know, it's sad when you hold open a door for anybody and they're shocked that somebody would hold the door open for them. You know, that's a low vibration. That's how low the vibration of the world is that we're so focused on the self. We're so focused on the ego that we miss all of those opportunities to balance the scales, like the story of Anubis. Mm-hmm. You want to give more than mm-hmm. you take. And I think that's at the end of the day, if you can give more than you can take, then you've passed this test here. But it's not just financial, it's emotional. It's, you know, it's all the dimensions. So also meditation. If you ask the universe for help, it will guide you. But meditation, sitting in darkness and doing a little thought, just going and introspecting. Introspection is one of the most difficult things for people to do. We don't want to ask ourselves, why am I here? And if you do, the answer will be all of the decisions that you've made have put you right here. So how do I change it? So immediately I was given by Thoth the Emerald Tablets, and it was all about emotional regulation. It was about understanding your emotions. So love and hate are the same exact emotion, but love is the absence of hate, and hate is the absence of love with your thoughts, emotions, and actions. Same thing with courage and fear. Courage is the absence of fear. Fear is the absence of courage. Same thing with self-doubt and confidence. Mm-hmm. It's so your thoughts are not always your own. Sometimes it's a message from the universe. Sometimes it's a challenge from the universe for you to not polarize with those negative emotions and alchemize them into the positive emotions. And the only three things in this world that I feel that human beings right now have control of are somewhat their thoughts, but your emotions and your actions. So that will dictate your total frequency. And that's why they call people who are bipolar, they say because you swing between the polarities of the emotions and you have no control, no equilibrium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the way you were talking about that, this planet, and I think that you will agree with me that this planet is the hardest planet to live on.
It's the Las Vegas of the universe.
Yeah.
You get to come here and you get to do all of these things. But remember, when we come here, everything that we've done before is wiped away. So if we want to reconnect with ourselves and reconnect with our past lives, our highest self, you have to do the work to balance those scales and earn trust from the universe. And as you do that, you'll start to find out the things that resonate with you. But I like to say that really, this is a place where, man, to come back here, if you didn't have
nobody would. They'd be like, no way.
But what I do believe right now with the time that we're in, a lot of people chose to come back in this timeline because we're at a very, I believe personally that we are on a new earth.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reasons that I believe that. But I think that's the reason is because it's just a very cool time to be on earth. But with that said, it is the toughest from what I've been told. And Dolores Cannon has spoken on this. It is the absolute most difficult, most difficult place you could ever come because Vegas is a hell of a time.
Right. You know? Well, you've got all the, you know, you've got the sin of the greed and the gluttony and, you know, all the, you know, the depravity and all that stuff, you know what I mean? And it's just like, and we're smack dab in the middle of it, you know? So balancing our frequencies, you know, to kind of even those things out, there's people that, you know, aren't that balanced. There's a lot of unbalanced people, but there are ones, the ones that are balanced or that are getting more balanced are ones that you really don't hear of. You know what I mean? They're in the shadows or they're, you know, because right now people don't want to believe that. People want to believe either in the this or that. You know what I mean? One side or the other. You know, the grass is green or the grass is brown. You know what I mean? They don't have that. You've got to share both. It's got to be a balance, you know? So, yeah, I'm a firm believer in the balance. I mean, we all have things that we need to work on and to, you know, grow from and to adhere to some of our shortcomings, but that's part of the learning and that's part of the balance, you know, and that's just,
it
you
is
know?
Yeah.
So
a lot of people have like you just said, I kind of describe it, we're very much like solid, liquid, or gas, and what you're referring to is the mindset of people who are solid. Nothing goes in, nothing comes in, and very little goes out, and they're just stuck in the way that they are. And if you listen to Bruce Lee, I resonate with what he said when he says, be water, fit to whatever container, right? And then I think when you go to that state and you learn and you grow and you can fit into any sort of container, big or small, then I think you transfer into that etheric state where you can be everywhere and nowhere. You start to understand the universe to a little bit of a higher level because your perception of reality is simply based on your information, I've said before. So the amount of information that you receive, the accuracy of it, the depth and the breadth of it, that directly gives you your perception of what reality is at the highest level.
Right.
Your brain is constantly information based on the information.
Right. So let me ask you this, JJ. Comparing today's time to 1,000 years ago, you know what I mean? I mean, that mindset.
Yeah.
Compare the two. I mean, because of the fact that the spiritual aspect of that, you know, being 1,000 years ago, let's say that, you know, you're in the desert and you're, you know, staying in a hut and you're meditating or you're, you know, thanking God, thanking Christ, thanking for the food, thanking, you know, doing all these things. And there's different elements to that compared to today. Do you think that today's time is too corrupted, or do you think that it's just a management issue? Or do you think that it's something that we just need to navigate through to learn more? You know what I mean?
I think everything's a learning process, but when we're talking about 1,000 years ago, even 2,000 years ago, when Christ came, that the reason that he came was to speak to the Gentiles because of the mm-hmm. corruption. We're still dealing with, Jesus walked up and flipped the change tables over and said, "You've turned my father's house into a den right. of thieves." He didn't want taxes. He wanted to get Matthew up out right. of there. He wanted to no usury. So that means no charging interest when you loan people money. All these things that Jesus came to teach have just metastasized and gotten worse. So I don't know if it's the same or worse,
right.
but it seems as though the teachings of Jesus line up just perfectly with what we're dealing
right,
with today.
Right. But I do think it repeats itself. So, I mean, it just, and oh, yeah. I don't know yeah. exactly for sure of what time frame it does that things. Is it every 10 years? Is it every 20 years? Or, you know, I mean, I think that there is a number that it just, history repeats itself in a
12,000.
Is it?
11,500 to 12,000 okay. years. Every about 12,000 years, there's a cataclysm of some kind. And I believe we actually experienced it about a year ago, but nobody experienced mm-hmm. it because we shifted into the new right. earth. So about a year ago, roughly, there's an article that you can look up where the earth was hit with an impact of some kind, and it vibrated for 9 days. And in those 9 days, there were tsunamis, there were avalanches, there were all these things. But none of us experienced it.
Right, right.
So that speaks to me that it's in some way on a metaphysical level, on a timeline level. And right after that, too, that was when we had an asteroid or another moon in the sky. There was a lot going on.
I never saw that.
Well, what's funny is they tell you that it was an asteroid. But the problem with that is that asteroids don't orbit
right.
Earth. So right. for something to be up there, I was told by Enlil that it was Nibiru. And Nibiru comes around every 3,600 okay. years. So that is something that I was given. I don't know the accuracy of it, but it feels right to me because I've had such communications with the Anunnaki right. and those creator beings who have given me that. So the way I feel is that we went through what everybody considers the apocalypse. Right. But we are here on this new. The fact that we're having this conversation to me is a wonderful thing because we are in that
right.
timeline. We raised
right,
our consciousness
right.
to a point where we were able to mm-hmm. come here. And I don't want to get too much into whether or not certain people made it and that's why they're missing or look different.
Right, No, it's
you know, but we're here.
Right.
So.
That's the important thing, the important side of it.
Exactly.
And I think that you know, that planet going around the Earth, I see that it's like a spiritual chemtrail that surrounded mm-hmm. everything and that it made it so it was like flicking on a light switch. And it was like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
okay. You know what I mean? So that's what I see. And I don't look outside into space. I don't look past that. You know what I mean? I'm more of a down to earth type. You know, I looked at things spiritually, but you know what I mean? So for me to kind of venture out into space and to be around the world or the earth or whatever is not normal for me. So for me to be able to have that come into my mind and for me to experience what it is and for being told what it is, that was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. You know what I mean? So
I wonder, because about a year ago, I had vertigo for like a week
yeah.
straight. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe I had just landed wrong. Like that's what I kept hearing was I had landed wrong.
No, what I was told is that flatly the Anunnaki are here. They're in human, but don't expect them to be coming down on spaceships.
Right.
They look exactly like us. We are also the aliens in some
right.
ways. You know, I was told by Enlil directly. He looked at me because I was a little freaked out. I said, "What are you?" because I thought a demon would have to reveal itself. Right. And he looks at me. He goes, I'm not a fairy and I'm not a ghoul. I don't have to tell you what I am. I got chills, right? I'm like, oh my Lord. But he looked at me and he said, he also said, you were not born with talent.
Right.
But something happened and you asked for it and you were ready for it. So now you're able to travel. And he looked at me and smiled and he said, you're able to travel like I can. Not exactly.
That's cool.
Not exactly. Right. But he said, you are able to, and now I know exactly what he means.
Okay, this is something that I've been struggling with this for a while, and I don't think I've ever mentioned this to you, Elizabeth. Every once in a while, I'll have prophetic dreams, okay? And I have, I had a recently weird one about me being a mobster. That was different. Had a dream, and I would like you to, JJ, to observe this and to ask what this could have been, because I still don't have an answer for it.
I'm pretty good at this.
So yeah. I was in my dream, there was a room, and there was a gentleman that was standing in there, and there was like this picnic table, but it was dark. Okay. I mean, I could still see the picnic table, and I'm sitting there, and a gentleman walked through this doorway and he looked like Christ. And he walked through and he says, I need the box. And I'm like, okay. So I walked over and I was like, the box where? And the person that was sitting there, I don't remember who he was, besides the guy that looked like Christ was standing there. And he says, you need to put in your code. And so I put in my code on the table, which all the buttons lit up and the wall opened up. And this old box came out. I mean, this was like, it looked like something came out of like the Haunted Mansion from Disney. I mean, it was like this old big box, and I took it out and I was to hand it to this gentleman that looked like Christ. And I said, here you go. And that is pretty much all I remember. The only thing I got was they kept calling me the timekeeper.
Oh, well, it could have been one of two things. You could have been giving your soul to Christ, one, your experiences. But what I'm thinking is the fact that you just said that, Thoth popped right in, because Thoth is the keeper of all of the records. Right. Thoth writes down, he is the Akashic record, everything that has ever happened. And he's also the one who works with time and space. Mm-hmm. So there's something that connects you. You're going to be able to travel your mind in the way I think that Enlil is talking about, in time and space. So you're going to be able to access different points in time, because time is not linear, it's cyclical, you said. Right. So I think you may be able to learn, and you're a Levite, you may be able to learn to actually travel your consciousness or remote view.
Oh, I already remote different... view.
Okay, so that makes, see that, so not only that, I think one of the things that you're here to do now is to bring clarity to the events that have happened in throughout time.
And that's the one thing, not to interrupt you, but it was really weird, because this guy that was standing next to it was a big guy. I mean, he was big. And this guy was like the guy that was not the Christ looking guy, but this other guy was like big, and he kind of had a lower voice, and he says, you need to put in your code and you need to do this. The wall, like I said, the wall opened and this box came out, and I handed it to the guy that looked like Christ. But you see, I had given my life to Christ back in 1994. Now, I had the darkness come upon me that night after I had accepted Christ, came upon me and sat on me and said, how can you do this to me? I own you. And yeah, so I know the darkness, and I know the light and this and that. So, but after that, this was about a year ago when that dream happened with the box. And I remember this box, it had cobwebs on it, and it was just this, it was in a wall, and it opened up and there was an empty chamber, lighted empty chamber, and then this other part of the wall opened up behind it, and this box came out. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, it was just, it was totally bizarre.
And and when you said that it went behind two walls, that speaks to me, that speaks to layers of you that you've yet to unlock. Right. So there, I think that you have far more capabilities. And when the darkness came on and sat on you, and please, I understand how much I love the teachings of Christ. I think he was saying is not that you're mine, but almost like if you don't use the balance of me and you just give it all to one side, then you're almost in a way. I don't want to say it that
right.
way.
No, but, no. But I, almost, I, yeah, I understand.
You need to use that darkness.
I do. And that's, yeah. Okay. No. I do. I have my shortcomings, but I also have my good side. And it's a balance. You know what I mean? So I'm back and forth and back and forth. But what that darkness is what I would call is one of the main darkness, the demon or whatever it was that sat on me and said, I'm going to take this away from you. I'm going to do, you know what I mean? I was scared. I was severely scared, but after that, everything that spooky or scary or seeing ghosts or whatever was all a normalcy to me. You know what I mean? It's just me and Elizabeth talked about that because of who we are, it's normal.
Yeah, you get very comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah. I mean, and when we don't want to talk about remote viewing, I can do remote viewing in an instant. It's not even an effort for me. Sometimes I do it where I put my, if I'm driving and I'm trying to think of a better way to work when I used to work far away, and I'd be like driving, I'm like, okay, do I take this path or this path? So I would accidentally put my consciousness there. I would see that. And then it was like, I kind of disconnect and I wouldn't realize I was driving down the highway because I was there.
Yeah, unconscious.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden when I slammed back in my body like that, I didn't know where I was. I was confused.
Yes.
And I hate that.
That's happened to me.
I hate that feeling.
That's happened to me a few times. And what happens to me, I get led back to the places that I was before.
Yep, that's what it was. You know, that's me trying to find a different way to work or a different path or the same one, or I'm bored. I want to take a different path or like one I took. And that's what I do.
And what's been happening over the last 2 years with me is a very similar thing. But now, over the last year, I've been not remote viewing, but I have been driving. And just it's almost like I don't have control of where I'm going. And I'll be brought, and where I keep getting brought, I will find the most amazing things that link to it, to my Native American past that I know. I mean, I'm being drawn to where the dead are.
Yep.
So I know exactly where certain things are. I get drawn to crystals. I get drawn to energy. I'll go somewhere and I'll look on the ground and there will be just a bunch of crystals laying there. Or I'll get drawn to a place and there all of a sudden, and it was right before this winter had started, so I haven't been able to keep going. I have been drawn to places where they're deep in the woods, and I just walk and I'll find mountains, and I kind of know what those represent. Yep. That there's so I'm starting to feel as though I'm being drawn to my ancestors who were killed in America on this land. That's what's been happening to me. It's almost like it's a direct line with those spirits and children, especially, who are saying, we want you to tell our story. We want you to bring, and I want to give them proper burials.
So,
you know, that I keep getting drawn to a lot of pain and suffering and also answers to the questions that I have. So it really is when you just, I don't know if it's exactly remote viewing, but when you just get taken somewhere and you follow your intuition.
Right. Yeah. Like, wow. I choose not to do that because it's a little bit too easy for me. You know what I mean? Where if I just think about it, or so I have to be mindful in the last, I would say, few years, I really have to be more mindful of where my mind wanders. You know, daydreams for me are different. You know what I mean? So I really need to not do that. But I did want to mention to you, and I want your take on this.
Can I go back? I'm really, 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 really sorry, but I had this like aha thing, and now my head is really hurting bad, so I have to say it. Jay, in your box, the cobwebs. Uh-huh. I'm almost positive I got told what this is. All of the things and all of the problems that you're hiding and that you're afraid of or you're ashamed of, that's what this box is. You're being told to unlock it, open it, give it to Jesus.
Right.
Release it.
And open up them gates.
Right. Well, which makes quite a bit of sense. You know, because the fact that this ties into my other statement I was going to tell JJ.
And now the head stopped turning. Thank you.
It demanded right. You say
so. Yeah. So about a year or so after I accepted Christ and I had that event with the darkness, you know what I mean? Okay, so about a year later, I was struggling to be a good Christian. I was struggling to do the things that I needed to do, and I was really upset. I was crying. I was laying down. I was going to go to sleep and this and that. I'm on a cliff or I'm on a ledge, okay? And I'm standing there and I'm at the bottom of this ledge or whatever, this embankment. And it's a stormy weather and I could see this ocean and this cliff behind me. And I look up and lo and behold, there's Christ standing there in all his glory, looking at the ocean, holding a staff, and goes, and I was like, so I turn around and I'm trying to climb up this cliff, and I kept falling down. Well, there were other entities there, but they were dressed like monks without any hands or feet. They were just like monk robes, and they were some were ascending higher, some were falling, some were ascending, and then some would, you know, I kept trying to climb up this, and I kept falling, and I got down, and I fell down the last time, and I look at him, and he looked at me, and just waved his hand, and just waved it, like, get it back up there, and do it again. And then I woke up, like, halfway up on the cliff. Okay, so that, to me, I know that was him. I know wholeheartedly 100% that was him. And to describe what he was wearing, I couldn't even put it to words. I could not even describe it.
Just beauty, absolutely. I think what I get out of that is he was telling you that this mountain you're going to climb is not going to be easy. And in fact, a lot of souls have tried to climb this mountain that you're trying to climb. They go up, right. They go down, they go up, down. And that may, those monks that you saw may have been your, at all of your past lives where you've tried to climb this mountain up and down and up and down. And now it's you in this life. And this is the time where he's saying to you, oh, no, get your ass up the mountain.
Right.
You're going to get up the mountain. You're going to reach that Christ consciousness. You are going to be like me. You are going to be what you would call the perfect Christian. But what I do get the communication from him is, Jesus doesn't want you to think of yourself like that. He doesn't want you to think that there is such thing as perfect anything. And when he says, you know, he understands every single thing that you feel. So when you hold on to something, he already forgave you yourself and let the skeletons out of the closet.
Right.
Say, all right, man. And once you really understand that you are fine and Christ does have your back and nothing is going to happen to you after you leave here. And he is proud of you. Mm-hmm. He's proud of you all the way. He's just waiting for you to take the box, plug in the code and reach that Christ consciousness. And then you're going to, that's when your abundance is going to come without asking for it.
Right. Well, and that's the whole thing too, is that I've been hearing that a lot lately too, is just get out of your own way.
Mm-hmm. That's what he said. That's what he's saying.
Right. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, I mean, and there's been moments in my life that I've experienced that too, where I've had other people, who Christ have kind of spoke through and, you know, said similar things. So this isn't new to me. It's just the fact that getting to that point where I could take that step forward to open that door instead of just creak it open and peek in, you know, but that goes with everybody, anybody that hears this type of message, if you're struggling through this, or if anybody can resonate with this story, you know, what JJ has said, or what I've said, or even what Elizabeth has said, if you can resonate, if it resonates with you, then there's a reason why you're listening and there's a reason why you're here. You know what I mean? So that's the way I have to view this, and that we take all of this conversation and put it out there in a way where people can relate to it. You know, so there are no coincidences. There's a reason why we do this. There's a reason why that me and Elizabeth reconnected last week. You know, and she kept telling me about you, and you know, and so
I don't want to cut you off, but I do. This is important that the channeling that I get, they want you to know that the staff that he had was the staff of Hermes. It was the healing staff.
Oh wow!
It was a two service that you would see in medical. And what he was trying to do is on your journey, he was trying to heal you with his hand. So he had the hermetic staff in his hand, and Hermes Trismegistus is Hermes thrice great, and so he came. He was Thoth. He was Hermes, and some believe he was Yeshua, but he did. Whether or not it is true, he borrowed the staff of Hermes in your dream and planted it right there.
Right. And it's funny. Yeah, it's funny you say that, because of the fact that never one moment did I actually think that he was holding his staff, because he didn't have one. It was not his. Christ was never given a staff of his own.
Mm-mm.
This was not. And I've always like, what's with the staff? And I always knew, knew that that was not his.
No, the fact that he used the staff of Hermes, and it wasn't the rod of Cephalus. It was not that. It was the hermetic staff. The fact that he did that, and you dreamt about that, and that we came into this live together, you had to have been asking for wisdom. There's no way you have not been asking for some sort of wisdom or guidance.
Right. Oh no, I. What the body wants and what the mind gets are two different things. You know, sometimes they can be the same, but I mean, this has been eye-opening for a lot of different reasons. And like I said, and what I have to bring home to people that are listening, you know, there are reasons why you're hearing this. You know, JJ speaking, me speaking, Elizabeth speaking, you know, there are forces in this world that are more prevalent than you realize. Good or bad, they're out there. And the energy that is resonating throughout this planet is an intense, it's an intense feeling for everybody. Ground yourself. Ground yourself with the earth. When I tell people, I know it's cold out up here in the Northwest or North, you know what I mean? If you can do so, go out and outside, take your shoes off. Even if it's in the snow, stand in the snow, ground yourself, hug a tree, do something.
You are channeling both Mary Magdalene and Enlil as of right now, because when you say, and that was the exact advice that they gave me, was to reconnect with the earth. But then I realized also it was reconnect with the earth, but when you read Genesis, it says it's about the creation. Earth and heart have the same letters.
Yeah.
So when he says, I created the earth and the heavens, what he's saying is I created the heart, because there was darkness. Remember, I created the heart and the veins, the arterial veins, heavens, the veins. So he's talking about that, but also he wants you to reconnect with your heart, both the earth, feet on in Mother Earth, sitting up against a tree would be nice. But also he really does want you to open up as much as you can your heart chakra, be non-judgmental, love everybody, don't get caught up in who's loving who or who's this or who's that. Right. Just stay true, find true north and stay there.
Oh yeah, find true north. And it was funny because I, it's funny you say find true north, because this morning when I was outside and I was doing my out loud three times affirmations to the universe, it said face north. So yeah,
south and north.
I kept hearing this at face north, because the last time I did it, I faced east and then I did west, and today it said up, oh, face north.
There's one bearing we want to have right now. We want to have one bearing, and it's on that North Star. That's why it's always been what we've looked to when we're lost. Where do we go? How do we go home? Follow the North Star.
Right. So I'll let you take the last couple of minutes here, JJ, and I want you to let people know how to even out their frequency and to ground themselves and to take the positive with the negative.
I try to not look. We have a moral compass, so there are certain things that we know in our heart when you're born that it's right or wrong. Outside of that, try not to be judgmental of others with what's right or wrong. Just focus on you, what you're putting out. If you are emotionally dysregulated, obviously meditation. Like you said before, go outside. Put your feet on the ground. Take some time and go into deep thought. Remember, I believe that the reason why we have the consciousness that we have and the abilities that we have are because we took them from the animals. So I would say go out, feed the animals. All right. I feed my buddy Geppetto, the squirrel, every morning. Just enjoy the life that you have. We get caught up in everything. Go. The money this, the money that. You know what? You can't take it with you. Focus on the things that matter. I think that we don't necessarily tap into the ancient texts as much. I think reading the Bible is a great way to balance yourself. I think the Vedic texts are awesome. But ultimately, really, just identifying your emotions is one of the biggest things. So step outside of yourself for a second and ask yourself, why am I feeling this way? And then do the very best you can, whether it's listening to music or the meditation we talked about, or going out and helping a homeless person. Do the little things that are, there are millions of opportunities to raise your frequency, but you have to be open. One, you have to be open to receiving. That's why Jesus stood like this, because he was always open to receiving, right? So be willing to receive from others, love. And be willing to put out the things that you want to in the world. There's no better way to raise your frequency than with kind, selfless acts of kindness.
Right. And the one thing that I always remember too is even when, and I'm not, not knocking Hollywood in that sense, but the whole, Evan Almighty, is that what it was?
That's a great example. Yeah.
You know what I mean? At the end of the movie where Ark is acts of random kindness,
it is.
And how they put that in there, Christ or God's everywhere. Okay.
Everywhere
if he wants to put something in a movie, he will. You know what I mean?
I mean, how many different ways did that figure of Christ, God, represent himself? And it was never, ever, ever in the way that you would think.
Right.
So when I've talked to some of these, I've gotten to know almost every person who doesn't have a home in my town. And the only reason I was able to figure out the things I was able to figure out was with God, but also going out and speaking to the most enlightened people I have ever spoken to were teenage kids and homeless people. But if you don't take the time to do those things, and it doesn't have to be necessarily that, it's really important. I remember one thing that really stood out. I got to know this gentleman really well. He was homeless. And he said, everybody goes by here and says, why don't you get a job? And he looked right at me and said, how do they know this isn't my job?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
We talk to angels unawares.
Right. Everything isn't all what you see.
No.
So, yeah. So my hour's up, but you have been a fantastic guest, both of you guys.
Ready?
Yeah.
Fast.
That was fast. I could talk to you guys for 10 hours.
Right. I hope I made you feel comfortable enough. You know, I really, some people, you know, are nervous coming on to the show and whatnot. So, but no,
you were great.
I'm grateful that you decided to come on. And Elizabeth, as always, it's been a pleasure for you to, you know, grace me with your presence, you know, and with your wisdom as well. So on that, folks, JJ, you want to tell people where they could find you?
Yeah, you can find me on TikTok. I'm going to actually on TikTok. It's just a bit of info and the tag is wisdom, herds of wisdom, H-U-R-D-S of wisdom. But it's just a bit of info, all one word. And then my uncle and I are starting are going to try to start our own podcast, the Undead Men podcast.
Nice. Well, you'll have to have me on. That's
oh, awesome. No doubt. We will. Yeah. We will be working together. I'm sure. I have a feeling.
Okay. Awesome. Having said that, I want to thank everybody again. And until our next episode, which we hopefully will have, you know what? I don't know because I'm just kind of, you know, flying by the seat of my pants on this one. I mean, some days we have it every other day. Sometimes we have it every day. Sometimes we wait a week. So it just whatever comes first. So having said that, I want to thank everybody.
Thank
you. Bye, everybody.